Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started.
But metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one with one on the way.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. Shaylee, before I used accounting software, you want to know how I would send an invoice?
How?
I wouldn't. I'd do this thing where I'd do it manually, so then I just I'd put it off forever, and then like I'd get around to it finally, and I'd apologize a lot, and I'd get paid like months and months after I completed a project.
That sounds like a good plan.
And now I can just do it from my car before I even get home.
Oh my gosh. Guys, the all-new FreshBooks is ridiculously easy to use. You can even use it from your car. You can create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds, and you can set up online payments with just a couple clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster, or paid at all in Katie's case. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
FreshBooks, you get paid the same year that you did the work.
Right, I feel like that's reasonable.
TM. Shaylee.
Yes.
My Sunday ritual goes a little something like this.
Okay.
I cue up an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
I pour something into a fancy glass.
Mm.
Has to be fancy, though.
Yeah.
It's part of it. I do the super quick menu from Prep Dish, and
oh.
I have every single meal for that week already prepped and put in the fridge, ready before Katniss can say, oh, I don't know if I even want Gail or Peeta, because I'm just so into protecting my district. I don't have time for romance.
Guys, that's a direct quote.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote. Prep Dish is a meal planning service that offers gluten-free and paleo meals. Every week you get an email in your inbox with a grocery list, prep ahead instructions, so that all of your meals are ready for the week with no guesswork needed. To try it out for free, just head to prepdish.com/SK.
Prep Dish. Welcome back to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. Today we have author Jessica N. Turner with her newest book, Stretch Too Thin, How Working Moms Can Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive.
It's so good.
It defines the key pain points of working moms, everything from guilt, marriage, work boundaries to self-care, and she gives us a ton of practical advice on how to pivot from surviving
to thriving.
We asked her to fix us, and she fixed us.
We're fixed.
We solved it, guys. Not only is she an author, she's a lifestyle blogger, speaker, writer, and there's a lot of great practical tips today. You're gonna like
yeah,
it.
She's smart.
She talks about outsourcing, she talks about organization, she talks about establishing boundaries, and we talk a little bit about putting on a swimsuit and getting in the water, so to speak. And also actually.
Like physically getting in the water too.
But before we get into all those great tips, we of course have to thank our amazing fake sponsor. This episode is brought to you by
Organizing your dried goods in beautiful rows of glass jars.
That was a long one, but you know, I feel like they're branded well. So
yes,
it doesn't matter.
You know exactly what they are. So tagline.
Okay. Taglines. These look great for like a month.
Thanks, Organizing Your Dry Goods and
Treasures.
Okay, well, we cannot wait. The listeners know about your book called Stretch Too Thin, How Working Moms Can Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive.
Yes.
And on Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand, we combine entrepreneurship and positivity, and we're just trying to figure out how the heck to do all this stuff without feeling
stretched too thin. No, seriously, though. That's, yeah,
literally
life.
So we want to kind of hear your story, lay the groundwork, and then we'll get into some practical tips. And you're going to fix us.
Just fix us.
I'm just going to try.
Okay.
So I work full-time outside the home in corporate America. I work in healthcare doing marketing and social media. And then I have a pretty decent-sized lifestyle blog and following. I've been blogging since 2006. So I'm a bit of an internet dinosaur there. So I've got the online side hustle, and I've got three kids, and I'm married. My husband's a children's book author, and we live in Nashville. So it is a busy, full life. And when I was thinking about what this book would be, my first book was called The Fringe Hours, Making Time for You, which was all about the importance of women making time for themselves and practicing self-care, which is something I'm really passionate about. I think it's really important that women make time for their passions, and that even if that means letting go of other things, it's worth it because we're better women when Absolutely. We're taking care of ourselves. So that was my first book. And so I thought, okay, where do I go from here? What do I know? And first I thought, you know, I'm going to do an experiment about Sabbath and rest, and I'm going to teach women how to rest. And then I realized after 6 months that I didn't know how to do that. That was not the story that I was living. The story that I was living was a really full life. And as I talked with other women, they also were living really full lives. And a lot of us at points or all the time were feeling stretched too thin. So I did a survey of 2,000 working moms and asked what their biggest pain points were. And the responses were overwhelming. Many, many, many women use the phrase stretched too thin in their open-ended questions. And I was like, well, wow. You know what? This is what I'm going to write about. And so I launched an online course. And then that course led to the book that you guys have in your hands and hopefully listeners have or will have soon, Stretched Too Thin. So it's something I'm really excited about and passionate about because 70% of American women with children under the age of 18 work. So that's a large majority of us. But when you look at resources out there for working moms, they're really not out there beyond like how to take your breast pump to work and those types of topics. So
yes.
This is a much more, I think, holistic, honest perspective for women.
Yeah. And what I like is you have like little work, I don't know what you'd call them, little work segments at the end, little reflection.
Yeah, reflection questions. It was really important to me that this book was not my story of being a working mom, but something that all working moms could see themselves in. And so if they didn't maybe see themselves in a specific example, using those reflection questions at the end, they could really apply what I talk about in the book to their own story.
Yeah, that's good. I love practical tips
so we much. We geek out with practical tips.
Because it is. It's very inspirational to hear someone else's story, but it's to me, I can sometimes get very inspired and then tired and not know how to take action. So yes, any bite-sized action tip is just great. So we're going to talk about some of those today.
Yes.
So what did you discover the main pain points were with your survey?
So the two biggest pain points for working moms that they identified were managing their homes. 4 out of 5 said that that was a struggle for them. And then 4 out of 5 said that self-care was a struggle. So those two were basically a tie, which doesn't come as any surprise to me. I mean, those are certainly the biggest struggles in my own life, particularly as it comes to managing my home with 3 kids. It just seems like it's a hot mess all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. For
yep.
sure.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
And then boundaries, I believe, is something that you talk about as well, too, as far as when you're working, when you're momming. Yeah, that's a big
yeah. It is a pain point. But, you know, it was interesting in the survey. It didn't come out as much as I think it is actually true in our lives. And I mm-hmm. think why that is because it has become so ingrained in our norm that we don't see it as an issue. So, for instance, we're constantly picking up our phones and looking at work email. You know, I look at work email when I wake up in the morning. When we're doing family movie night, if my phone is by me, I'll look at that Outlook account, you know. Yeah. And so we don't necessarily say, oh, I've got a problem with boundaries. But then when we look at our habits, we actually do. So mm-hmm. I think that is a big struggle as well, even if it wasn't one that women were as forthright about as self-care and home management.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Okay, so let's get to some practical tips. Let's start with, since the Fringe Hours was your first, some of the key like things we can put into practice about self-care.
So the first thing that I say to all women, if they feel like they don't have time for themselves, and moreover, they don't know how to find that time, is to track their time for a week. So this is the same as tracking what you're eating or tracking your steps. You're going to write down everything that you do for a week. There's a free time tracker on stretchtoothinbook.com that you can download, or it's in both of the books and you can use it there, or really even just a piece of paper. But you're writing down everything in 15-minute increments that you do over the course of a week. And it's extremely eye-opening when you see it all on paper, because even though we feel really overwhelmed, if you're working full-time, that's 40 hours. You have a lot more hours than 40 hours in a week. So what are you doing with the rest of your time? Are you spending it on chores? Are you spending it with kids? Are you spending it doing things you don't want to do? And so at the end of the week, you've got this really clear picture of where your time went. And so then I encourage women to, okay, look at that and say, what did I have to do this week? Like, what was the need to do? What were the nice to do's? What were the things that I did But I said yes to doing those things because I would have felt guilty if I said no. And a lot of us have a couple of those things on our calendar, you know, like we said yes to being in the PTO, or we said yes to that thing at church or whatever. And if you've got those
Katie
things.
Katie volunteered to be a room mom for Halloween and then had like a sick kid that couldn't go to daycare and had to host a room thing with a waiting.
Guys, don't worry. I've totally pulled it off.
She goes, I promised that we were going to do a theatrical reading, a dramatic reading for the room party. Oh, goodness.
That's amazing. But right, you know, but if you, and you know what? Some women love being room moms. I think that if I didn't have a full-time job, it's something I would really enjoy. But for me, in the season of life that I'm in, I would not make a good room mom. And so this year, in that example specifically, I had a teacher ask me if I would be my son's room mom, and I politely said no. And I think that it's really important for us to remember that we next to never regret saying no, but we often regret saying yes. And so it's easier to do that hard no right away then have to back out of something or do something begrudgingly that's taking us away from the limited time that we have to do things that we actually want to do. So the first tip is to look at your time and where you're spending it, because I bet there's opportunities for you to maybe do some things differently and make more time for yourself.
That's so good. And the yes and no thing, I, for one, really can relate to that. And I think if I think in my head right before I answer, how would I feel right after I say yes or right after I say no? And if I'm like, if I said no, I would feel relieved, wonderful, like I could conquer the world. And if I said yes, I would feel stressed and like I'm adding something to my mental load.
Right.
And then I'm like, why am I even thinking about it? Like, because I'm trying to please a stranger, someone that I don't know. Yeah. So that's great.
That's really good. Do you have any personal examples of something? Obviously, you said no to being room mom, but was there any self-care things that you in particular thrive from that you could, you found a way to add to your time?
So I am really, really passionate about taking care of myself, and to the point that I say no to lots of things so that I can do that, because I know that when I'm doing that and I'm in that sweet spot, I do everything else better. So I can think of lots of seasons in my life where everything looked perfect on the calendar, you know, everything fit. I worked till 5 and then at, you know, 6 I was going to do this. And then the next night at 6:30 I was going to do this, and it all looked like it fit fine. But how I felt was overwhelmed and stretched too thin, right?
Oh, that's
and
good. So yeah, your calendar, it fits physically. But if you run into 15 extra minutes of traffic, your whole day's upside down.
That's good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you've got no bandwidth, no time to breathe. You know, I tell a story, and I think this is in the Fringe Hours, or it's in Stretch 2 thing. I think it's in the Fringe Hours, where I was doing this book club one night, and then we were going to do community group at our church another night. And I thought I could do all of these things because they fit, but I didn't take into account how it was going to make me feel. And how it made me feel was overwhelmed and spiteful that I had these things on my calendar. And so I dropped out of both of them, you know, and just said, these things might be good things, but they're not good for me right now in the season that I'm in, you know? And I think sometimes we just see things as being good and that we want to do them, but just because they're good and you want to do them doesn't mean that you can or should do it. You know, it's maybe not going to bring you as much joy as you think. So I've had a couple of those in my life because I am a yes person and I am a person who likes to do a lot, you know? And so I've just had to learn that that is not best for me or for my family or the way I want to live.
And maybe it's arrogance on my end, but sometimes I'll think I would be really good at that. Not only do I want to say yes,
right.
I'd be the best room mom party thrower they've ever seen.
If I say no, someone else would do it worse.
Worse than I could do it myself. Which is probably, first of all, entirely not true. But second of all, like, it's okay because they're 2.5 and they don't need the best whatever it is that you're trying to do. And not even with kids. I think, too, with work, I will do the same thing you just described with, like, work till 5 and then do this. I will schedule, like, what do I call it? Highly taxing, mentally engaged meetings, like brainstorming meetings for these large events a year out. And I'll schedule like that with another client that doesn't know where they want to start on a video brainstorming meeting mixed with another high bandwidth brain meeting. Mm-hmm. And I schedule them all back to back without thinking, your brain's going to shut down before you get to that last meeting or two.
Mm, that's good.
And then I think, like, why did I, like, I need to know how many meetings that I'm going to need to contribute to creatively can I handle in a day before it's not healthy to have them all, even if they fit in a, you know, six to eight hour period. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's such a good practice if you work in an environment like that to block time in your calendar to get work done, because meetings can suck the life out of you, right? You can't get anything done. And so I literally will put blocks on my calendar so that people can't schedule any more meetings just so I can do the work that I need to do.
Yeah. My problem is I'm the one scheduling the meetings and I'm still doing it.
She's her own. Oh my goodness.
But you're right. I need to block time off for, like, and this time we're doing, doing the work that we keep talking about in these meetings.
Right. Yep.
For sure.
I've also noticed how good it feels when you're doing the thing you've blocked on your calendar. So if you need to, if you know, I need a 20-minute break between meetings, put a thing in your calendar that says 20-minute break between meetings. And during that 20 break, you can look at your calendar and say, oh, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Or if you need to go to a workout class, block it in your calendar. So when you're at that workout class, you're going, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to, you know, I'm where my calendar says.
It, like, validates it. Uh-huh, exactly. If it's on the calendar.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we are working moms. And we can definitely identify with the surviving versus thriving mentality. Surviving can look almost like it's working, but it's just that. It's
to
surviving.
Everyone else, but right. Not inside
exactly.
your
so
brain.
We would love some practical advice on how to pivot from just surviving to actually thriving.
Yes. And losing the guilt.
So let's start with the guilt. So as it relates to guilt, I think you need to recognize if the guilt is coming from a place that's driving you toward change, or if you're simply telling yourself an untruth. And what I mean by that is that sometimes if we're feeling guilty about, let's use the example of missing out on something with our kids. If we're feeling guilty about that and that feeling keeps coming up, is there a change that we need to make in our work schedule or in the time that we have with our kids so that that feeling won't be there, you know, that we're being really intentional when we're with our kids. There's a woman that I talked to in Stretch Too Thin who her work schedule prevented her from being with her daughter. I think it was on Thursday nights. So the mom worked Thursday nights and her teen daughter was at home. On Friday nights, the mom was home and her teen daughter had to be at band for, you know, the high school football games. And so she felt guilty about this, that two nights in their week, they were apart because of her work schedule. And she went to her boss and she said, could I change my schedule and work on Friday nights instead? So her daughter would be at the football games, she would be at work, and they both would be together on Thursday. And her boss agreed. And so sometimes that guilt can drive us to make a change. And a lot of times that change isn't as hard as we think it will be, right? She just had to have a conversation, even though it felt like this big thing. Other times, like there's an example I also share in Stretch Too Thin where I talk about my daughter at the end of her kindergarten year. She brought home this little packet of paper. And you know how kindergartners, they have these little worksheet packets and it's like their first day of school and what their favorite memory was and who their best friends were and like all the things, right? With the little stick figure drawings. So it was one of those types of packets. And I turned the page and it said my four favorite memories from the year. And it was her teacher and her friend and like a extracurricular activity that she had done. And the last one said daddy. And it was a picture of my husband and her that she had drawn. And when I saw that, I started weeping. And my husband said, why are you crying? And it was like, I couldn't hold back. She was right there. Like I just lost it. Right. And I said, she's going to remember you at school because he works from home and can do those types of things. She's going to remember you at school and she's going to remember me in an office.
Yeah.
And that feeling was that mom guilt rearing its ugly head, you know, of me being a mom who works outside the home because I have to, right? Like I bring in the benefits for our family and it's our, like most families, we need two incomes. And I just really felt guilty in that moment. Even though I love my work, I feel called to do my work, I would never quit my job. I felt guilty. And I needed my husband in that moment to speak truth into my life and say, you are a great mom. Our kids are not going to remember you as a mom who wasn't present, who wasn't engaged in their stories. Like, this picture means nothing. She's five and she remembered me coming to school last week, right? Like,
it wasn't
it wasn't a comprehensive, you know, manifesto about me as her mother, right? That's how I took it, right? And so often we do that to ourselves, you know, and we use Pinterest and we use social media as our benchmark for what our lives should look like and how we should be parenting, when really the truth of the matter is we're all really great moms. We're all doing the best that we can. And I really believe that each one of us was designed uniquely for our kids. Like, there is nobody who could be a better mother to my daughter than me. That is, I'm meant to be her mother. And I'm meant to be her mother as someone who works, right? And so I think if we can lean into truth like that instead of the lies that we tell ourselves based on social media and what we're seeing, I think the happier we're going to be. Sorry, I'll step off my soapbox now on the guilt thing. But.
No, preach. We are making preach. This whole podcast is just one big soapbox.
Yeah, that's all it is.
No, but I really like that. With whether you are called to work or literally you just have to work, you know, even if a mom is out there and she's like, I hate my job, actually, I'd love to quit and be home with my kids full time. It's still like, you can still be the best mom for them, even if it, you know, isn't exactly what you ideally would do right now. Yeah, that's freeing. It relieves a lot of pressure.
I think my new thing is, for the however many hours I'm in the same room as my kids, be in the same room as my kids. Yeah. Don't try to.
Yes. You know, yes.
So there's a lot of quality over quantity revelations in my life right now as someone who just went back to work for the first time in 8 years. So.
Yeah. Katie,
and you know what? The
data
shows that. The data shows that quality matters so much more than quantity. Mm-hmm. So I think you're doing the right thing there. And knowing that, you know, I had a mom who worked and that was just fine. You know, I still had a great childhood. And so it is about that quality time. And so lean into that, right? Like, be a mom who's present, be a mom who puts her phone down. And when you're with your kids, you're really with your kids. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good guilt stuff. I like it.
Good guilt stuff.
That's some good guilt stuff right there. Okay. So now teach me how to stop surviving.
Teach us.
Okay. So let's talk about the home stuff, because I think that's a good place where a lot of us struggle, me included. So maybe I shouldn't be the voice of reason here, but I can give a couple examples. So in the book, I talk about the concept of mental load, which one of you mentioned earlier. So mental load is that invisible job of noticing and remembering. And in American households, that predominantly falls on women. So it's, oh, we need to buy Christmas presents. Oh, we need to get light bulbs. We need to get flu shots. I need to go and pick up this. I need to take that donation to Goodwill. Like, all of the things that are running in our brains is mental load.
You just stressed me out a little bit. I was like, yes.
Oh, all those things.
Crap, light bulbs.
Right. Exactly.
No toilet paper in the whole house. Here's Kleenexes.
Okay. So here's what you do. To streamline that, I think we need to automate as much of our lives as possible. So right. I am no longer stressed about running out of toilet paper, paper towel, Cascade, dish soap, all of those things, because they all automatically come to my house. I use Amazon Prime, Target.com, Grove Collaborative, and all of that is automated. And so now I'm not thinking about any of those things anymore. And, you know, people worry about, you know, pricing and is it going to be more expensive? And here's the thing. It's really not. I have actually done where I've placed an order at Grove and then I went to Target and bought all the same things just to see, is it really actually cheaper? And it was, right? It's also cheaper because you're not impulse buying, right? Like, and that's a huge thing. Doing all of that type of automation, you also then don't impulse buy, which actually ends up saving you money as well. Yeah. And you just have so much less stress. I had ordered an abundance of juice boxes this year. Like, you know, there was a promo. And so I signed up for another case compared to what we were used to. And then all of a sudden we were getting double juice boxes. And so in August, we had so many juice boxes. I was like, we are going to have juice boxes until October. And sure enough, the week of Halloween, my kids were like, we don't have juice boxes. And it wasn't even on my radar because I just had not thought about it in so long. And I had stopped the auto shipments. And I'm like, why did I stop them? You know, so just set it up, just set and forget. And that really makes a huge difference. It's amazing.
The point is you're automating some of the mental load that is, it's just something that like, it doesn't take talent to go get groceries typically. So that's something you can easily outsource without feeling like I was the best person to get the groceries.
If you're listening and you're the person who fills the cart for shipped.com, it does take talent and you're doing a good job.
Actually, it does, right? Because I've had a couple shoppers that I was like, please don't ever have them shop for me again. But for the most part, they are good shoppers. You know,
can
I mean, there's an art to picking fruit.
I don't want him next time because my lettuce was wilty. Yes.
Listen, but if you on Shipt, if you rank your shopper a 3-star or below, they will not ever let them shop for you again.
Oh, wow. It's like an Uber.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Okay. I just learned so much.
But I think that that's encouraging, even though I knew it all. It's like I've heard of all of these services, but actually just
putting them into place.
Yeah. Right. It's huge.
Is there anything else you've outsourced?
So I have somebody come to my house twice a month to clean. That was something that we had to budget for, but it has made a huge difference because I just felt like I was stressing out so much on weekends and, you know, getting all the beds changed and, you know, doing all of the things that it was worth it for my sanity and for the time that I got back to pay for that cleaning service. And honestly, we're still a hot mess the other 13 days until they come again, you know, but it, at least I feel like brings us up to normal and has me less stressed related
to that. It restarts your deep cleaning. And then you just maintain.
Right. And kind of along those same lines is I'm not afraid to ask for help. And I think so often women will feel shame for asking for help when it comes to their houses. You know, and I think about how I was raised and the way my mom kept our house and I feel inadequate, you know, like she just did an amazing job. And so that was really a hard pill for me to swallow that I needed to lean in and ask for help in that area. But now I'm like, what can I do? I actually have flown my mom to Nashville just so she could come help me with closets because I could not get them organized. And she's so gifted at it, you know, but like, think about that. Like maybe you do a trade, whether that's, you know, flying your mom in or it's, you know, trading meals with a girlfriend or, you know, whatever, you know, I think there's lots of ways that we can get help. And you know what? Asking our kids and teaching our kids to clean up and to help. And I think when we've got time, so often we'll think like, if I get up early in the morning and I'm up before my kids, oh, I could do one more load of laundry. No, you know what? My kids can see me doing laundry. My kids can help with the laundry. I am not going to do laundry at 5 a.m. when I've got this quiet hour with nobody else. I'm going to do something just for me at that time, right? And so, you know, I think that's important too, that our kids are seeing us manage the house and that they're learning and they're helping right alongside you.
That's so good. Like my kids can, it's not going to hurt them to watch mommy doing their laundry. And you know what? They can help. Anytime, my daughter's almost 3, but every time I ask her for help, she like does. And my mind's blown. I'm like, she just carried those whites into the bedroom for me. And I'm like, cause I never ask her to do anything to help. So
yeah. I mean, my 3-year-old puts his laundry away.
Ooh.
So does mine. You know why? Man. Cause I put a picture on each drawer.
A picture. Underwear.
I did.
That's good.
I have 4 kids, so I'm like, I have to label these drawers or it's, we're never going to have sanity ever again. Okay, so that's really good. So outsourcing would be the first tip in learning how to thrive rather than just survive. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one. And, you know, I'll say one other thing related to managing the home, and that's organization. You know, we look at like Real Simple magazine or Better Homes and Gardens, we see, or even Pinterest and Instagram, right? We see these like amazing closets and this organization with all these glass jars and everything's perfectly labeled. And listen, I talked to professional organizers and something that I learned that was so encouraging to me is they said there's different types of organization for different types of people. So if the glass jars are going to stress you out or you're never going to be able to keep them filled and you're going to have glass jars and Cheerio boxes, then guess what? Glass jars aren't right for you. And so don't think that because you're seeing somebody else's completed work of what works for them, that that's going to necessarily work for you.
Right. Yeah. I'll be organized when I've emptied all of my spices into new containers.
Right.
Then I will.
Until I run out of garlic powder.
Until I run out of garlic powder and can't remember where I ordered it. No, that's good. That's really good. Okay. Any other takeaways or practical tips before we wrap?
Yeah. Can I lean into work just real quick?
Please, man. Speaking our love language.
Okay, so when it comes to being stretched too thin at work, one of the biggest opportunities is to establish boundaries. And those boundaries can vary from, you know what, I am not going to work after 5 o'clock. And you are not answering email at 7 at night or 8 at night. You know, if people don't see that as your norm, they won't expect it as your norm. So you've got to be the one to set those boundaries and then really say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. To the point where sometimes I will write emails and we'll just leave them in draft and then send them the next day because I don't want to be the person who's on email at 10 at night. Now I'm still on it, right? And so there's still maybe a boundary thing there, but in terms of what the expectations are for my colleagues, right? They're not seeing that modeled from me. And I think that's important. I think the better thing is just to not do it at all. But I understand, you know, those things sometimes happen.
Right.
Another,
that's good, Jess.
Another one with boundaries is sometimes boundaries in relationships with our colleagues. And I'm not even saying inappropriate relationships. What I'm saying is, you know, when you work and there's somebody who's really chatty and you can't get anything done because then you need to kind of pay attention to the warning signs, or you need to say, hey, I really need to get this project done. So can we finish this conversation later, you know, and shut it down and be willing to say that. That's really important. And like I talked about earlier about blocking those times on your calendar so you can actually get stuff done. That's really important. Also, don't be afraid to use technology, whether that's tools like Slack or picking up the phone or walking down the office to talk to somebody to get something done to minimize that email. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the email cycle that we don't have conversations, and that sometimes it can be a lot more efficient to have a 5-minute conversation than 10 emails going back and forth. So use technology or, you know, actually engage with one another whenever.
We've started using Slack recently again with just contractors in our business. And it's so helpful because you're saving literally 10 emails back and forth that aren't traceable. And then you have to research in emails when it's all just right there.
Yeah, it's so great. So, so great. So I think those are a couple tips. You know, I'm a big fan of flexibility, whether that is working remote one day a week or leaning into flexibility so that you can better accommodate life with kids, you know, so maybe you work a split shift so that you can go have lunch with your kids, or you say, I'm going to work 4/10 so that on Friday I can take the day off and we can go do something fun as a family or whatever. But I think looking for opportunities in your work for flexibility is going to create higher satisfaction and help you to feel less stretched too thin.
Right. We have a mom who's like, businesswoman. We have a mom. We have a friend of ours that is also a mother that she works in like an ad agency. And she, for the first time, was like, I want to work 3 days a week or like 4 days a week. And she's great at her job. And they were like, of course, anything, don't leave. And now it's like, oh, and now she's doing it. Or now, you know, it's like, just
ask for what she wanted.
Yeah. Ask for what you want. And if you're good at your job and
you might get it.
Yeah. They want to keep you. Like, chances are they'll surprise you. If it's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And particularly, I think, as we see more millennials moving into the workplace and having these types of expectations as being the norm, I think we're going to see an increase in workplaces in fields where it's applicable.
Right.
To have
it's
that
not every field. Right.
It's not in every field.
Yes. So have you found like a sweet spot? Do you feel like the 4/10s is something you've tried or?
No, 4/10s isn't something that's feasible at my particular environment of work. But we do have an alternative work agreement where we can work from home one day a week. So that's something that's been really helpful for me. So my day starts earlier on my work from home day. It ends earlier. I'm able to, you know, throw a little laundry in on my lunch break and honestly get a lot more done because there's so many less interruptions. My office has 50 people in it. So there's just lots of foot traffic and lots of conversations. And that just doesn't happen. So I'm actually a more productive employee when I have a work from home day.
There's a lot of wasted time in an office. I feel like everyone's like, we're all going to be here for 8 hours. So what do we, you know, there's a lot of little, not like a lot of wasted time, but yeah, little side conversations or someone's having a birthday. So there's cake in the break room and everyone's going to go do that for a little bit.
I think you guys are underestimating how much time I can waste at home by myself.
I don't know. Maybe you can.
Trust me.
I'm my own worst boss. An expert.
There's still side conversations at my house.
Just with yourself.
Just with me.
That's amazing. But I hope that this was helpful. That was a couple of big areas. I mean, I could keep going if you wanted me to keep going. But I think those are a few of the big challenges for working women, and maybe some practical advice that you can take away.
Yes, for sure. I think I have like a billion more questions, but I'm trying to. We decided we were going to focus on one topic.
I'm going to throw one curveball.
Okay,
go for it. Because I went down her blog rabbit hole last night and I really liked it.
Okay.
Do you think we should put on a swimsuit or not put on a swimsuit?
We have swimsuits on right now, so be careful how you answer this.
Well done. You really went down the rabbit hole. Yeah, so a few years ago, I had a post go viral encouraging moms to put on a swimsuit and get in the water with their kids. And it was a blog post that I wrote in like 15 minutes before I left for work. And it went viral, ended up being the number one shared post on all of Facebook.
I remembered seeing that on Facebook. I didn't connect that with you.
It was picked up by Huffington Post and the Today Show talked about it. It was absolutely unbelievable. People say all the time, gosh, you were so brave to put a picture of yourself in a bathing suit on the internet. And I was like, if I had known that 20 million people were going to see it, I don't know that I would have done it.
I was thinking it'd be my friends and followers.
Right, exactly. You know, a few thousand people. But I do think, again, it's a drumbeat, I feel like, of my message of being present with our kids and that you only get this life once, right? Like, get in the water. Don't feel like you have to be on the sidelines or, you know, you're going to look silly. You are going to remember those memories with your kids and your kids are going to remember those memories with you.
And your kids don't care. Like your kids don't care.
They think you're beautiful.
Right.
You don't know anything, right?
Yeah.
So.
And I don't care what the other moms think. I do care, but not as much as what I care about what my kids think.
Exactly.
What your kid will remember is going to be a lot long. Like it's a more impactful memory. It matters more than what that stranger on the lounge chair thinks of you.
Right.
That's right.
Oh, that was such a good article. Anyone, if you haven't read it, it went viral for a reason. So where can people find you?
So you can read my blog, themomcreative.com, or you can find out information about the book on stretchtoothinbook.com. It's available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, like 200-some airport bookstores. It's everywhere, which is really fun. You can also connect with me on Instagram. My main account is Jessica N. Turner. That N is very important because Jessica Turner is also, unfortunately, the name of a porn star. So that's a bummer.
Don't Google that in your browser.
Yeah, don't put jessicaturner.com into your computer, especially not at work. It's not a good thing.
Does the N stand for nipples? No.
Okay. It sure doesn't. No, nope, that's me. Okay.
All right.
Jessica, so it's pretty cool. Jessica N. Turner. So Instagram, Jessica N. Turner, or I've got an Instagram account dedicated just to talking about books because I am such a big reader, and that account is Book Snobbery. So those are all the places to find me.
Great. Oh, I didn't know about Book Snobbery. I'm gonna totally. Okay. Well, before we part with you, hopefully everyone has had a second to go order their books.
Yes.
We just want to play one little segment to wrap it up, and really put your advice into work. So the segment is called
Stretch Too Thin.
Now, Shaylee and I are both going to give you a scenario, and you're going to tell us whether or not we are doing it right or we might be stretched too thin.
Are we okay or are we stretched too thin?
Okay.
So this is going to be a work-related one. May not have happened in the last 24 hours.
Is this a real example?
It might be. I will let you decide.
I'm so nervous.
I decide, sick and pregnant, to schedule a video shoot, make my daughter's costume, a meeting. This is horrible. Go to a Halloween parade.
In the rain.
In the rain, because I'm not canceling, for goodness sake. And then I had one conference call scheduled in between before the parade while my daughter was napping before I had to pick her up. And that phone call turned into another text message about a last minute shoot that they needed to talk about, an invoice that maybe I did or didn't mess up that I needed to call back. Another random phone call about two extra random phone calls, and they all needed proposals by tomorrow. And I said, of course, I will get you those at midnight tonight.
Oh, Shaylee, this sounds
when
real.
I get home from
sounds really specific.
The rainy parade. And then I did all of it. And my body hurts. And then the next day, I was recording This is a session of podcasts.
Wait, this sounds really real, Shaylee.
Right. It's just hypothetical.
So okay. Hypothetically, here's what I'm going to say. Sometimes there are seasons in our life when we're stretched too thin. When I think it really becomes a problem is when you are living that way as your norm. Okay. Yeah. So I'm somebody who really loves Halloween. If you go on my Instagram, you will see the extent that I love Halloween. I hand make all the costumes.
You're the mom making us all look bad. We know.
Yeah. Family theme all the way. So I get it. And I've had those types of days. But here's the thing. Are you doing that to yourself every single day? Or did you just have a crazy day? Right? Like that's what you need to ask yourself. If day in and day out, that is how you're living, then that's a problem. And some things need to change. You need to put some better boundaries in place for what you're saying yes to, making sure that there's margin in your day, you know, thinking about the need to do's versus the nice to do's, all of those types of things. If you had a hairy day, you had a hairy day. Yes, you were stretched too thin that day. Let me tell you, there were lots of days I was stretched too thin while I was launching stretched too thin. How many times can you say that in a sentence? That is the reality. It's just that when we are living like that constantly, that we feel like we can't breathe, that we feel like we're not going to remember our lives, that we feel like we're never fully present for our families. Like that's when it really becomes an issue. I talk about in the book about the idea of juggling a lot of balls, and that instead of all treating all those balls as if they're the same, think about some of those balls being rubber and some of them being glass. And if you were to drop one of those balls, the rubber ball will be the same. It's not going to be impacted. It will be the exact same when you pick it up. The glass ball will crack or eventually it will break. And so think about in your life, what are you treating like rubber balls and what are you treating like glass balls? Because I think sometimes our priorities get out of whack, right? Yes. And we treat ourselves like rubber balls. And we're like, oh, it's fine if I don't get sleep. Oh, it's fine if I don't eat well. Oh, it's fine if I don't exercise. It's fine if I don't go to the doctor, right? When we're actually people who are going to crack, right? If we are not taking care of ourselves.
Right.
And then on the flip side, we treat our work like it's a glass ball. And you know what? If that email didn't get sent, no one read it at midnight. It could have gotten sent the next morning, right? But we treat it like glass.
Like, she's not healthy.
Right. You know? And so I think maybe you just think about that as you go into your next day or your next week and maybe make some changes. But I'm going to give all the grace on those busy holidays because I get it and I'm just like that. But I do think there's some takeaways that you can find and lean into for the future.
That's good. And figuring out, okay, let's look at the last week or the last 2 weeks. How many of those days were like that versus when did I have more margin?
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. Shaylee, and that's where that time tracking. Yeah, I mean, you're pregnant. It's just horrible when you're pregnant. I mean, at least it's horrible for me. I hate it. But
we're remodeling a house too. That was fun.
Yeah, it's just that's fun. And that's a hard season. And so you got to give yourself lots of space and lots of grace that this is not going to be your norm forever.
But don't drop the glass Shaylee ball.
Don't drop. I'm literally like a ball right now. And my baby inside of the ball is as fragile as glass. No, that's so good. I think that's so good.
I'm not going to lie. You were like juggling a ball and I was like, okay, yeah, I could see that visual. And then you changed the material and my mind
rubber and glass.
You just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay. Everyone go order her book. And thank you so much, Jessica N. Turner. for all of that awesome practical tips. You're amazing.
Yay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Y'all were great. Thanks for having me.
Prep dish. Real or not real? Pita. All my meals are ready. Real.
But Pita makes bread. I feel like he can't be our, you know, real spokesperson. Pita. Just make us some gluten-free options, Pita.
Gluten-free options, Pita.
We'll pick you every time.
Yeah. I would always pick Pita.
I would always pick Pita. I'm so happy to pick Pita. I know. It's like so strong and handsome. Like we want Pita, the bread boy.
Like the guy you have to carry on your back. On the next Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand, we find out how the heck did Shaylee and Katie even meet?
Do they remember? Does one of them remember?
It's our special 100th episode, and spoiler, they didn't meet each other on the same day. Katie met Shaylee a different day.
Shaylee met Katie. But also I will say there's meaty content too.
Yes, we get into intentional friendship tips. We get into community over competition. And I make Shaylee take some encouragement.
Oh, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
Buckle up.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.